It is 7 minutes past 7 o'clock this Saturday morning. It was this Thursday evening when the President, Cyril Ramaphosa, when eventually allowed to deliver the State of the Nation address, said this pertaining to cannabis and marijuana.
Because of the drought in many parts of the country, farmers have lost their crops and livestock, and many workers have lost their jobs and their livelihoods. Working with the Agricultural Research Council and other scientific and agricultural bodies, we have developed drought mitigation strategies that focus on developing drought-resistant seeds, planting and storing fodder, removing of invasive plants, and management strategies to prevent soil degradation. This year, we will open up and regulate the commercial use of hemp products, providing opportunities for small-scale farmers. This is our approach to the opportunities that are offered by cannabis farming, which happens throughout the country. We will formulate policy on the use of cannabis products for medicinal purposes to build this industry in line with global trends. The regulatory steps, I can see when I talk about cannabis, people get quite excited. I begin to wonder whether they are excited because they know about it or know how it is used or are users themselves.
That is the President, Cyril Ramaphosa, this Thursday evening, delivering the State of the Nation to a joint sitting of the National Assembly and the Council of Provinces. Joining me on the line is Tony Budden. Tony is the owner and co-founder of Hemporium, as well as an expert as far as the cannabis industry is concerned. Tony, you've been calling for this for years and years and years. I imagine it meant a lot to you and those in the industry to hear the President making those pronouncements this past Thursday.
Absolutely, Africa. Good morning. Yes, it's been Hemporium started in 1996 on this journey, and it's been a long walk to freedom, so to speak, waiting, that's almost 27 years, almost the same as Madiba, waiting for someone like this to stand up in Parliament and from the highest office in the land say, look, it's not if or when, it's now how are we going to get this industry going in the country.
And in a moment, we'll talk about some of, I suppose, the urgency and the meetings that I know you've been invited to with the Interministerial Committee, for example, and so forth. This is something serious for this administration. And as you said there, it is to, I suppose, align us with what is the international trend at the moment.
Absolutely. You've seen countries like Canada really thriving in the industry. You know, we've got a lot to learn. We had the opportunity back in 1996 when we started doing research into cannabis as a country to become a world leader. But we now are playing catch up. But we can also learn from some of the mistakes that other countries have made and from best practices around the world.
We are playing catch up. Is this overdue?
Long overdue. I think one of the key points that we have to get across now is this idea of just being an export country. That ship has really sailed. I mean, Canada is way ahead of us. The biggest market at the moment for legal cannabis and for hemp, and they have got more than enough in their own country, and Europe as well. We've got East Europe growing hemp, and we've got Germany, Denmark, countries like that growing medical cannabis. We've got our little neighbor, Lesotho, growing lots of medical cannabis. So the key for us is to not only look at a net export of you're just growing to try and send to other international markets, but to really set up something local to make sure that this industry thrives.
And what opportunities exist there, Tony?
So firstly, obviously on the hemp side, right now, as you know, I live in a hemp house. I've got my feet on the hemp carpets. I'm sitting on a hemp couch. My walls are made with hempcrete and there's hemp insulation. That whole industry around buildings, jobs, obviously the food side for hemp, animal feed, paper, the works, that whole industry is locked and loaded, ready to go. But what we would need, obviously, is support from the government on setting up the processing facilities to make sure that the small farmers have access to it as well. And that feeds into the whole natural and organic sector that's just growing everywhere around the world as sustainability issues become more important to us. And then obviously on the medical side as well. Currently we're allowed Schedule 6 for THC, which is, it's okay, but to get a product to that point, you have to spend billions to do your clinical trials, and then it ends up costing around 30 to 50,000 rand a month. And you also have to be half dead to get it. It's equivalent of, say, morphine. And then CBD has been descheduled to Schedule 4, which is a non-psychoactive cannabinoid, but Schedule 4 is also a prescription only. So we're proposing that we look at something similar to what California and Colorado and Canada did on the medical side, where it's more a recommendation from your doctor that you can use medical cannabis for health problems, not specifically to stop seizures or end your nausea for chemo and that kind of thing, but actually on a, if you want to, as an adult on a day-to-day basis for general health issues, anything from sleep to anxiety. And then that corresponding to that, we could set up dispensary models, we could set up licensed producers, manufacturers, and that way a whole new industry will thrive in South Africa, and we'll still be meeting our obligations on the international treaties that we've signed as well. And then, obviously, Concord gave us our right to grow and smoke at home in a private space, and that's already been legalized. That's not a question anymore of should we legalize it for adult use. Concord has told us we have to. It's just how that looks now. It's whether we say only those with a garden that can be considered a private space that is secure, no one can see into, no one can access, only those people can grow cannabis and use it, and only those people who live in a private space where obviously, there's no grandparents or there's not a lot of children around where you wouldn't be able to use it because that wouldn't be considered a private space. We can't exclude people who don't have access to those things. So looking at the model similar to, again, what's worked around some of the countries in Europe and also in the States, and that of private cannabis clubs where people can consume, people can share, maybe not on an economic way, but through trade and barter, and that way as well make sure that everyone who wants to have access to quality products that are regulated, safe, they've been grown with integrity and obviously doing testing, making sure there's not pesticides and fungus and mold and that. We'll have an industry that thrives, that gives Tito his much wanted tax money, and obviously stimulate the economy, which is the most important to all of us at the moment.
Should be noted that Tito Mboweni, the finance minister, did tweet a picture, was it about a week or two ago, where he has a very healthy, thriving tree that is growing in his back garden somewhere. The government, quite rightly, Tony, needs to exercise its responsibility to ensure that if me and you have access to cannabis, that we do not abuse it in any way. What I'm hearing from you is that while there may be stringent legislative processes that will limit, I suppose, medicinal use of cannabis, you'd like to see that relaxed a bit more.
Yes, I think there are two sides to medicinal use. There's obviously the what we call condition-specific. Someone's having seizures and they'd like to use cannabis for that, and then generally have access to products that have been through clinical trials, they know exactly the dosage for the exact condition that's, and that should definitely still go through the Department of Health, through SAHPRA, through those testing. But there's also a whole other side of cannabis on a day-to-day basis or on a healthcare or wellness basis, where people's intention is to decompress after the stresses of modern living or use it for sleep. There's a lot of people whose intention is not, I want to get as high as I can, but not that, obviously Concord has given us the right to do that as well, but for health and well-being, and that shouldn't be excluded. It shouldn't be that you have to be half dead to have access to this plant. And I think if we look at an industry that has worked like that as a progressive approach, then with obviously maybe seeing your doctor or your traditional healer to make sure mental health issues are looked at. If there's anyone who's got a predisposition to schizophrenia, they shouldn't have access. There's all sorts of conditions that maybe would need more tighter doctor's supervision. But for many people, their intention is to use the plant for healing, and that shouldn't only be available through scheduled medicines.
What is key, I think, to this administration, and I imagine this stems from your interactions with the Interministerial Committee, is the fact that small-scale farmers need to benefit from whatever economic opportunity we can realize from this.
Absolutely. I mean, we've got two very vocal ministers who are sitting on that committee who are making sure that's done. That's our Minister of Small Business and our Minister of Social Development. They're obviously going to make sure that the small farmers are looked after. And it's not just, we could call it the illegal market, but let's rather call it the informal market that has existed in this country for centuries. And we've got documentation from, I think, around in the 1500s, way pre-colonial time, of the koi and the san using dacha. And dacha is actually a koi word. So we have this long history of an informal cannabis market that has existed, and these people have obviously been persecuted. They've been sprayed from helicopters. They've been arrested. We've got stories of 25 Zulu, they call them the Impila and Sango. They were hanged for defending the fields against the apartheid police who were coming in. So we have this huge amount of the society that's being persecuted, the Rastafarians, and they obviously have a role to play as well. And then the small farmers in the Eastern Cape, particularly in KZN, the Pondo farmers who've been growing it for generations. How do we set this industry up without destroying that? Because then those people also become a problem to the government, because as we all know, cannabis has put shoes on kids' feet. It's paid for, probably a lot of our ministers paid for their university fees and their school fees, and those people deserve a part of this. So how do we do skills transfer to train and at least give some sort of traceability of the ability to understand what seeds were planted, and hopefully we can work with local seeds as well, you know, local genetics that have been developed here or grown here, our land races, and then make sure that those farmers have access to a market that's regulated, that's quality controlled, and then that can go into different products to be distributed around the country.
So
and export, obviously.
What do we then need to do to ensure that all of the factors we've discussed up until now are realized, where society is not going to abuse cannabis, resulting in social ills and socioeconomic challenges that come with that? And we report on that case, on those issues every day, of course, in a Cape Town context particularly, that the small scale farmers will benefit in the manner that you've just outlined, that I will be able to one day afford a house that is completely built of hemp product, and more importantly, that the economy will realize some growth in a real way because the government has been responsible in how it rolls out this intention.
Absolutely. We believe, David, there are five keys to unlock this, and one is obviously legal and regulated local farmers. Allow the local farmers to grow legally and in a regulated condition. You know, some sort of control there, making sure that people are not putting on unnecessary pesticides and fertilizers. And that's done in hopefully to good agricultural practice. And that will need what our MEC met in the Eastern Cape is proposing on the Cannabis College. Your education, training, all of that. And then obviously access to local and regulated seed. We don't want to import only all the seeds from the Northern Hemisphere. We have a lot of good genetics that need to be researched here, and also looking at not only for cannabinoids, but on the hemp side. What does the Swazi variety that grows into a tree, how many houses can we grow off a field of that compared to the hemp comes from Finland or something? Then also making sure that we have the ability to produce products, from the hemp products, from the carpets and the textile industry, and the DTI is really behind getting hemp textiles going again. So helping the beneficiation and the products value chain in South Africa. And also making sure that we have a local market, that the market's ready for these products. We've done a lot of education at Emporium on the hemp, and obviously the medical side. The beautiful thing about the whole medical side is it's at the moment it's still mostly anecdotal. It's people telling other people that it worked for them. It's not yet marketed to us by the pharmaceutical industry or someone telling us it will work. It's gone through word of mouth, and that's obviously often where the most powerful movement is. But then we need to back that up now with science and trials as well, just to prove to the skeptics. And then also obviously the ability to export to some of these countries that are switching on in Europe, who only have 3 months of summer, and we have a good 8 months that we can grow this plant. And all along with this, having products that have quality standards, accountability, we can trust, the good value, and obviously bringing in the revenue that the government really wants as well.
Tony, thank you very much as always for your insights. Tony Budden is the owner and co-founder of Hemporium, as well as an industry expert on the issue of cannabis. Are you excited by the opportunities that this part of the economy can unlock? Are you concerned? Are you worried about the potential for abuse that South Africans can be susceptible to? Debo on the WhatsApp line saying, unfortunately, there are a lot of people who deliberately ignore the laws and smoke cannabis, even in public spaces, even standing on a balcony in a block of flats and smoking, says Debo.